And then there was one. Just one single solitary Toronto sports. That's not true. TFC is still playing. So then there were two. Just two solitary sports teams playing the Toronto Blue Jays. Closer to first place in the American League East today than they are to being out of the playoffs. After taking 2 of 3 from the New York Mets, they have today off. They will start 3 against the Yankees tomorrow.
When will you be comfortable enough saying that they are a playoff team? It's official.
Oh, I am. I'm just not convinced they're not going to finish in first place. Tampa Bay. What did you say? No. Let me finish. What did you say? Seriously. What did you say about a month ago when I told you Tampa Bay was going to win the East and we were going through all those things? Your line to me was G-Man Choi better be great.
He just got hurt.
He's done for the year.
Is he?
He's out for the regular season. Yeah. He will be back, they said, maybe in the second round of the playoffs.
That's not a huge loss. They still have pitching to make up for that.
But still.
And there's a lot of bad teams in baseball.
There are.
The fundamentally sound baseball teams, you could name them on one hand. It'd be a short list.
590-590 is a text line, by the way. Good news before we get to the weekend's happenings. Barker is now on Instagram. Kevin Barker Baseball.
Yeah.
He's on Instagram. Now, he's not on Twitter yet because...
Baby steps.
You got way too much money to need to go on Twitter. It's only us po-folk that go on Twitter.
That's what you're going with, huh?
Yeah. So he's not yet on Twitter. He's not yet on Twitter. But he is on Instagram. So send all your pictures, your comments.
Be nice.
To Barker.
This could be fun. You know, it's I have a lot to say, Jeff.
Or it could be a disaster.
It could. Well, you know, you can always delete it.
It could be a steaming pile of poo. Because social media, as you're about to find out, is a cesspool.
It is.
It is the worst place on the planet, other than Regina. Social media is the worst place to be on the planet.
Well, I am on the radio.
I'm just kidding about Regina.
And occasionally I like to demonstrate things.
Oh, I know this
is a pretty nice platform to do it on.
It is. It's great.
I'd like to have conversations back and forth. You know, be nice. I'm new at this. But I can... You know, it could turn into a fun thing. It could also turn into what you're saying it could turn into.
Yeah,
but
it's just
we're gonna make the most of it. We're gonna have a good time with it.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun for about a week.
Yeah, every once in a while we can show the fruition of a gather. Why Vladdy can't hit a heater?
That's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna use Instagram to expand the base of this show.
Yes,
perhaps if they let us,
we would love to.
So, that being said, just out of interest, since I tweeted out that you have Instagram, how many followers did I get you in about half an hour? Like 20? 25?
50.
Yeah, there you go. 590-590 is the text line if you want to reach out to Barker and myself. Obviously, a lot to talk about this weekend. An 18-1 thumping at the hands of the New York Mets. The bandwagon was emptying.
Who cares?
Then Robbie Ray comes back the next night. And then yesterday, Hyunjin Ryu stabilizes it. Ladies and gentlemen, your Blue Jays are in second place. They are closer. Again, I'm going to say this. They're closer to first place in the East than they are at falling out of the playoffs. So where do you want to start, Mr. Barker? Let's start with...
Good or bad?
Well, I want to start with Robbie Ray. One, because we had Robbie Ray on, and I enjoyed the conversation with him, and he apparently enjoyed it too. But secondly...
Well, we know what we're talking about sometimes, Jeff.
Secondly, 97 miles an hour out of Robbie Ray.
That surprised you.
You know what? No, it didn't surprise me. What surprised me is that it was an effective 97. It wasn't 97 up here or down here or over there or over here.
They weren't non-competitive pitches.
No, and you used the phrase non-competitive fastball. There were very few non-competitive fastballs
Saturday.
Well, so tell me what you saw.
There's numerous things. You know, Pete Walker is a miracle worker. Let's first start with that. Yeah. I'm a huge fan. Obviously, I've known him forever. He's been a teammate, yada, 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 these kind of things. But proof's in the pudding. I mean, it doesn't lie by just watching a guy. Arm slot's obviously better. You know, that's something that Robbie Ray talked about.
He's also facing a little more straight.
Well, you know, we'll get to that. The velocity will tell you something about the arm slot, right? It's a little bit longer. It's not as short and quick. You know, he can let it go free and easy. The grunt, that's a big part of his game. When he's grunting, it's a mind thing. It really is. It's a mind thing. I can talk myself into anything. I can talk myself into getting on Instagram.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You know, right. And tempo. Now we talk about tempo in many different ways. When you hear a pitcher say, "I have great tempo," what's that? What do you usually think of? I get it and go. Buck Martinez talks about that all the time, right? He looks athletic. He gets it and goes. Robbie Ray to me is not. That's what not tempo means.
Okay.
It means when you just tried to mention it and didn't really. Is when he's out of the windup, he's got the little rock back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Tempo for me is he's rocking back and forth. He's waiting on Kirk. We'll give Kirk the nod because they had some success. He'll probably be the catcher next time. So we'll give Kirk the nod. So it's, basically he's rocking out there. He's waiting for the sign. Kirk gives the sign. He gets it. He sets up away. He gives him the target. That's the key is when he gives the target, that's his tempo. So he's waiting till he gives the target to set the lane. That's how Pete Walker's came in. Arizona, for some reason or the other, they wanted to go side to side with him. What's side to side do? Eliminates your target. Your target is that much smaller. You can say whatever you want about Robbie Ray. Location is not his gift. Stuff is his gift. So how do you want to maximize that? Give the target as big as you possibly can. The target is not the catcher's glove. It is where he's setting up, mm-hmm. right? You saw 97 with run. Yeah. You start that in to a righty, it's going to run off the plate. Non-competitive fastballs. You start that middle, it runs. That's in or third. That's a jam shot, or that's an easy out. It's that kind of thing. So it's the tempo of, right, I wait, I rock. I'm getting in a little bit of a rhythm out there with my rock. I get the sign. He gives the target. Then I go. That's his tempo. His tempo's better. And the slider. If he can keep the slider in the zone, right, he's got a little bit of 0-0 he can flip. Because he has confidence in it, and then he's got the hard one mm-hmm. that he wants to grip and rip. If he can do those things, now we're not talking about seven innings. Just stop talking about these things and when you take pitchers out and, you know, the uproar with Tanner Roark. It's just make you scratch your head a little bit.
Well,
but it's,
no, that's not – no, I understand – that's not – I understand Tanner Roark. I get why he said what he did, why he complained about not being allowed the third time through. Let me finish. I also understand that the numbers are what they are. That to me is the perfect. That is perfect. One, I got a pitcher who says, I'm pissed off because I want to be out there and is serious about it. Like, there are a lot of people, I can tell you, I'm not going to tell you, I covered pitchers who were always upset when they came out of the game. Then I go down talk to Gibby. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I go down and talk to Gibby, and Gibby'd say, you didn't count the number of times you kept looking over the dugout. And there's one, I'm not going to mention, there's one pitcher in particular everybody loves was great at looking over in the dugout. Like, you know, not put me in, coach. It's get me the hell out of here, coach. Anyhow, so there's that.
I guess.
But then there's also, I'm pissed off because I wanted to go third time through. And there's a manager saying, guess what? The numbers show that you're not good third time through. I'm okay with that.
I like it that they're trying to win games. You're gonna put the right guy in the right situation to help you the best at that time.
But what I'm saying is I didn't see it as a negative that Tanner Roark came out.
I don't mind that he said that, but you got to pitch better. Yeah. You pitch better, you're going to get better opportunities.
You do that, you know what you do? When you come out and say stuff like that, you put yourself on the spot. Next outing, okay, show me. Next outing,
his next outing's against Garrett Cole in Yankee Stadium. Do you really think that's when he's going to turn it around? Right,
what
his
I'm
sinker
saying,
and
no,
his
no,
four-seamer
no, no.
aren't real
but
good.
What I'm saying by show me is, you know, don't be at 68 pitches after 1 2/3 innings the next time.
I mean, that's all
I'm saying. I think it's a, I don't even know if it's a tempest in a teapot. It's not even that. But I want to get back to Robbie Ray because right now, look, there's a lot of discussion about how they use Hyunjin Ryu because he felt better in an extra day's rest. There seems to be a lot of worry out there about whether – here's the thing. You know, people are saying, well, he doesn't face the Yankees. I don't care if he faces the Yankees for the rest of the year. You know what I want? I want Hyunjin Ryu ready for game one of the playoffs. And you know what I'm going to him? You tell me what you need. You need to pitch. You need 6 days. You need 4 days. You need one. Whatever. You tell me. Because the thing, and I pointed this out in my column, Teddy, the thing people need to realize, look at this pitching staff right now. Taiwan Walker,
yeah,
not here last year. Hell, he wasn't here last month. Robbie Ray wasn't here last month.
Stripling
wasn't here last
month. But he'll be a long relief guy.
Right, but what I'm saying is Hyunjin Ryu's been here for 3 months, right?
Yep.
Been here for 3 months. You look at what Charlie Montoyo, and it's great. There's all sorts of analytics and there's all sorts of video. This pitching staff is built of a bunch of guys nobody here has managed before, for the most part. The bullpen is right now, who are the high leverage guys? Rafael Dolis, new guy. Anthony Bass, new guy.
AJ Cole,
new guy. So what I'm saying is don't be surprised if every time Charlie Montoyo gets asked a question about what his plans are, he kind of shrugs his shoulders and goes, well, right now, this is what we got going today. This is what we've got going tomorrow. Because these guys haven't been through it with these guys before. So, you know, right now I look at things, and all I want, Kevin, I don't know how you feel, all I want is Hyunjin Ryu ready to go game one of the playoffs. It would
have been very interesting to see what the comments would have been like after yesterday they took Ryu out 2-1 game with 92 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the conversation would have been like?
Charlie would be getting lit up.
Of course he would. These are the hard conversations that, you know, that are being had in the dugout. Like, you know, what do you do with these guys? You're trying to win these games. You're also trying to keep a guy healthy who, mm-hmm. you know, hasn't had the best of track records in doing that.
Yeah. So right now, you go into the playoffs.
I mean, look.
Ryu, Ray. Ryu, Walker, Ray?
Yeah.
Or depending on the matchup.
I would assume it's the first two guaranteed.
Yeah.
Unless the last couple of games of the season mean a lot, which I don't see how it would be. Right? I don't see you're as long as you're in the playoffs, who cares who you're facing? Yeah, I know everybody's saying stay away from Tampa, but you're familiar with Tampa. You know which way the balls are going every one of those pitchers. I know they're good, but
based on what I'm seeing now.
You have a young lineup who knows that team very, very well. All the other teams, they don't know those guys. Like Shane Bieber, do you really want to face him?
I'll tell you what. Do you want to face the
Barrios
White Sox? Do you want to face the White
Twins?
Sox?
I mean, that's...
Do you want to face the White Sox?
Mm-hmm.
With that lineup?
Giolito, you know, it's they don't know those guys. It takes innings. And the one scary thing is, mm-hmm. is they're not real good at hitting a heater. At least they know what breaking balls looks like from Tampa Bay. That's the thing. Again, you don't have any whatever about what's going on, and you really can't control that. Just go out and do what you do every day and try to win every single game, but it's going to end the way it ends. I like this team right now. They're doing what they need to do with the lineup they got. And if Bichette could ever get hot, which it's a tall order, like mm-hmm. there's a lot of moving parts. And if Vladdy could ever hit a heater, which, you know, it's for me, I don't know about you, Jeff, but it's going to be real hard to take him serious until he starts consistently hitting a fastball.
All right, I'll talk about the hitting, and I want to talk about the hitting in a minute. And Ken Huckabee is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. He is running the Jays alternate training site. He's, of course, a former Jays catcher and is getting a lot of credit for Alejandro Kirk's development. So we'll talk to Ken Huckabee about that because everybody loves Alejandro Kirk.
Yeah, the going to one knee – maybe we'll ask him about that. You know, how do you block a ball side to side
Bucks
all the time?
Pointed out, it seems like
a lot. Is it even important nowadays?
Anyhow, that. But before we talk about that, and before we go to the text line, 590-590 is a text line. Keep mm-hmm. them coming. There's a lot of good texts. Want to talk about Hyunjin Ryu's performance yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it was on an extra day's rest. His numbers are good in an extra day's rest. Charlie Montoyo saying after the game that, look, Will, he's basically going to call the ball here. If he tells us he needs an extra day, he'll get an extra day. If he doesn't need an extra day, he won't. But one, I wanted to ask you about this. Charlie was talking about the adjustment that he made in the game. It's almost like two games, right? The first four innings got runners on base, and then something kicks in.
Uh-huh.
Something kicks in, and Charlie's line was, they were on his changeup. He made an adjustment to his cutter. You know, he knew they were on it early, and he made the adjustment to his cutter.
Yeah.
There was also the velocity was a little higher than it was in his previous start. So what did we learn about Hyunjin Ryu yesterday?
Well, there's something up because he asked for an extra day. So he thinks something's wrong. Whatever it is, he doesn't look hurt to me, so we can check that off the list. You know, is he gun shy with the heater? Yankees had a good game plan. They were looking in early. Voit cheated, got the head out, and then it changed. Game plan went totally opposite of what he wanted to do, right? You know, it's cutter in, it's four seamer up and in to righties, it's get them out weak contact away with a slow curveball or a changeup. One of those two, preferably probably the changeup. It's that kind of thing. But when a lineup makes an adjustment and cheats early, gets the head out on a heater, now what? What do I do now? I don't throw hard enough to throw it by people away, because now everybody's going to look away, because ultimately I want to get you out of way. That's what it is. I saw him some peek, and he did some scoreboard peeking yesterday,
mm-hmm.
which what's that tell you? You know, he's sees aware. Mentally he needs to have that fastball in a certain range to make all the other stuff good mentally. Really, you know, what's 1 or 2 miles an hour? What's 1 or 2 miles is a lot from a lefty that throws 90-91.
Yeah,
maybe that's it, right?
It depends 88? On where he – it depends on where he locates it, too. 91, 92, 90, if it's up here, like the –
Well, I think it's the difference between the changeup and the heater. I think that's the difference, is if it's 91, now my changeup is 81, that's 10 miles an hour.
10 miles.
But if it's
different.
88 and it's 81, that's seven. That's, you know, it's – there's not a whole lot of difference there. So I think that's, I think with him not facing the Yankees, maybe that's planned. Maybe you want him with as much confidence as possible going into that game one of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I know they've lined it up to where it seems like, you know, Dan was talking about that yesterday, is now it's still lined up to where he's pitching game one. Well, maybe him missing the Yankees.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a planned thing.
Again, I know that the first reaction of a lot of people is going to be, this is a dude that you committed $80 million to and you want him to miss the Yankees. Couple of things. One, that's right now. Again, this year is different. This year is a different year. So whatever you do now doesn't mean you're necessarily going to do it or will need to do it next year. So throw that aside. Again, it's just about making sure he is as good as he can possibly be going into game one of the playoffs.
Yep.
That's all that matters to me. I don't care about whether he faces the Yankees. I don't need to see him face the Yankees. You know what? If he faces the Yankees in the postseason, things will have gone pretty damn well for this team.
You're getting Garcia, Tanaka, and Cole a lot the next seven games. That's the three guys that the Yankees are going to throw at the Blue Jays a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, it's going to be interesting to see how the Blue Jays as an organization handle down the stretch of not wearing out the bullpen. Right? It's, do you really care about finishing second that much? That every single pitch, and when you take that starting pitcher out, or do you give him a little bit longer leash? It'll be interesting to watch that.
So the Jays lost 18-1 on Friday. Then they came back with a 2-1 win. I want to ask you this. When you get hammered by another team,
mm-hmm.
is it more important that you come out the next night and score a lot of runs? Is it more important you come out the next night and get a good pitching performance?
There you go.
Or does it just not matter?
Well, you're only as good as tomorrow's starter.
Right, but that's
is always true.
Because I wonder in 2 weeks if we won't look back at that start and go, you know, they wouldn't have fallen out of a playoff spot, but they got roasted 18-1, and they got out hit in the park that they usually out hit other teams in. And then along comes Robbie Ray.
Yeah.
And Robbie Ray doesn't last 2 2/3. Robbie Ray gives you a good start. Like, I think when you look back, that could be considered a pretty pivotal.
I do think too, having Jacob DeGrom on the mound makes your decision a little bit easier. Are you putting in Anthony Kay with two lefties coming up when he has reverse splits, mm-hmm. you know, the mm-hmm. the changeup's eliminated against the lefty. That's one of his better pitches,
mm-hmm.
right? When he doesn't have fastball in, how does he get people out? You bring Kay in instead of Baruchy in that spot. Is that planned because of who's on the mound against you? You know, you got to look at big picture here. You know, we may not punt all the way in this game, but we may, you know, not use our best guy when it matters so we have him tomorrow so we can put the right guy in the right spot and win those kind of games. It's look, the way the rotation is with the Blue Jays, you got to flip coins here. You're not getting a good start all the time. You know, the expectations for tomorrow, are you super confident in Taijuan Walker the next time he throws? I'm talking super confident.
I'm not super confident in anybody.
There you go. So it's you know, you just hope they can keep him around and keep him, give him a chance to squeak it out in the end. It's that kind of thing. You know, offensively, they're having quality enough at bats to work counts enough to get a hang and break a ball, to hit one out or hit one in a gap and that kind of thing, score some runs, have a big inning. You just have enough pitching. And if Petey and Charlie can maneuver it around enough to get that guy in the right spot on the mound to get a key out, and they've been doing it so far, what's to think they ain't going to keep doing it?
Ken Huckabee, former Blue Jays catcher. He is a minor league coach, manager. He is running the alternate training facility or alternate training site in Rochester. That's where the Jays minor leaguers who are with the team are. And Ken Huckabee has had a significant role in the development of Alejandro Kirk, who, of course, was called up, made his major league debut, and is just about everybody's favorite Blue Jay right now for a variety of reasons. Ken Huckabee will join us when Baseball Central continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
590, 590 is the text line. Let's get an update on Kevin Barker's Instagram account, which is less than 2 hours old. How many followers do you have since I tweeted out?
Enough. Keep them coming.
You got more than I do now. Of course, I'm never on Instagram. I just, my life's not interesting enough to be on Instagram.
No.
It just isn't. No. Nobody cares what I eat. Like, I don't care.
Well, nobody's going to see what I eat either. Yeah. That's not why I'm going on it.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Got to show people how to get it down and get it singing, Jeff.
Let's bring in Ken Huckabee. Mr. Huckabee, how are you?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. We're just celebrating the fact that Kevin Barker's on Instagram.
I got to get with the times. It's 2020.
Exactly. Hey,
one step ahead of me.
There you go.
Yeah, no, you never, you don't, yeah, it's just not worth it. I keep telling people, social media is not good. Nothing good ever comes from social media. Nobody needs to build their brand through social media. So tell us everything we need to know about Alejandro Kirk. Now, we saw him in spring training, and of course, visually, as soon as you see Alejandro Kirk and watch him do his thing, I mean, you fall in love with
him. Yeah, you want to root for him.
You want to root for him.
You do, yeah.
But he's actually a good ball player, isn't he? Like we're not talking a sideshow here with him.
You're not talking a sideshow. You're talking about a guy who has all the tools behind the plate to be a very, very solid major league catcher and a guy that can swing the bat too.
Okay, he goes to the one knee setup behind the plate. Yeah, you see that a little bit, but he goes to it a lot. Is that planned? Is that something he's always worked on? Is that turned into a Blue Jay way? Kind of explain to us why he might do that.
No. Yeah. No, it was, he caught more conventional his whole career. You know, he's only 21, so I say career. He's been 5 years with us. And it was in summer camp, Schneider and I were just down in the bullpen working with the catchers, and one of Kirky's big limitations was lateral movement. Mm. And decision making on balls in the dirt, and he was always just a tick late. And so Schneider and I just sat there and started talking and kind of looked at each other and said, one knee, let's try it. And put him on a knee, had the machine going at him, and his blocking instantly was on time. And we were something we probably wouldn't have done if the season had been played and he'd have been in Double A. Solely on the purpose of, you know, pitcher command, but because there was a chance he could be in the big leagues, we trusted big league command enough to that it was worth losing a little bit of lateral movement to be more on time on blocks within his body. We just did it in summer camp Schneider tonight.
Yeah, is there any one concern about game calling? Yeah, I know it's not like it used to be when you were a catcher or John Schneider was a catcher. You know, it's more of that Velcro on your wrist kind of thing, and they have game plans the way it is. But for a young kid in a playoff race, is there one thing that would concern you about that?
No, because I've been watching, and Schneider and I have stayed in contact, and I trust Pete Walker. we've used the wristbands with them, and it's more about just understanding what's on the wristband and how to apply it. And so there's not really one thing I'm worried about. As long as the one good thing about him being so young is he's going to stick to the game plan as much as possible. He's not going to run off on tangents, like, say, a veteran catcher might do just on feel. He hasn't developed that feel yet for going off script. So he's going to stay on script pretty much while he's catching. And so I'm not really worried about it because it seems like Schneid and Pete are really on top of making sure he sticks with it. So I'm not really concerned. Okay.
Now, Ken, if you look at this organization now, you've got Danny Jansen, you've got him, you've got Gabriel Marino. I mean, you've got some catchers in this organization coming up. How does that change? I understand you're the manager of the AAA team, but this year in particular, how does that change your responsibility? The fact that it is an area, let's face it, it's an area of organizational strength.
Yeah, it is. And I was fortunate enough to be the coordinator for the last 3 years with the catching. And by no means is it me. The scouts did a phenomenal job of bringing these kids in. I mean, we still have Phil Clark. We have Riley Adams. Obviously, we still have Reese McGuire. And it has become an area of strength. And the catching coaches in the organization have really committed themselves to buying into what we're trying to do as a catching corps here. And really, it's real simple when it comes down to it, is we really try to teach the young guys the fundamental base of catching. And as they get older and the metrics starts to play, we can start using the metrics to kind of start playing with how we're going to kind of get the finished product done. But so it's been a great uniform effort by all the catching guys.
How's it been going in Rochester? Is it competitive? I would think that would be the hardest thing to replicate, is the competition level and keeping everybody involved and you know, wanting to get the most out of the season as you can. How's it been going down there?
It's been going really well. The older guys have really taken ownership of the clubhouse, and the younger guys, the Austin Martins and the Jordan Groshans, have followed suit and they're pulling them along. Hunter Mentz and Corey Hart have done a phenomenal job of making the games competitive with each other. They got the players broken up into groups when they hit, and they're playing against each other, and the score is kept on the scoreboard. And the pitching coaches have done a great job to make the innings meaningful for the pitchers also. And with our after-game reviews with the pitchers, they're getting better, and we got some good young arms here too.
Yeah, what's first impressions of Austin Martin?
Very, very competitive kid. Humble, learner. All he wants to do is win. All he wants to do is get better every time he shows up. And it's been a great first impression.
How about offensively? You know, the first time I saw him, I have to admit, you know, he's got a little bit of a hitch in his upper half. You know, I know that's a little bit of the aluminum thing and you know, changing over to wood, that might be a little bit of an issue. But what have you seen with that? You know, is the ball still coming off the bat like it did when he was in college? That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's coming off. He's got unbelievable pitch selection. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they call it, pitch discipline, or, well, I don't know what the metrics call it. But he sees the ball really, really well. And with a guy like with Martin, like most of the young kids that come in, before you can change them, they got to see that the way that they did didn't succeed.
Yeah.
And so he's in that stage right now. He's doing what he did when he was at Vanderbilt, and eventually there'll come a time when they'll start playing with what he's doing a little bit to get the most out of him. But now's not the time to be messing around with them. Let them do what got him here.
Ken, it was really good of you to join us. Thanks so much.
Yeah,
great insight. Be well, my friend. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Take care. That's Ken Huckabee. He's the AAA manager in the Toronto Blue Jays organization, former major league catcher. He is running the alternate training site in Rochester, New York.
Yeah, talk about Groundhog Day. Like, just like, you know, you're a player, you're a young guy, you're happy to be, you know, a professional baseball player, but still, what how would you make it different? That would be the question. It's you can only play so many simulated games or facing the same guy you're always going to face. It's, you know, that's got to be real tough if you're a coach down there to make it fun. You know, they're still young kids. You want to keep them involved for the most part.
Yeah.
And that fun part of it, you know, it's a game. That would be the hardest thing to buy into, would be the fun part of it.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess it would depend on who you are, right? It would be hard for somebody like Austin Martin, who knows that he isn't going to be called up this year. Maybe a little different for a guy like Alejandro Kirk. Like, I'm sure Alejandro Kirk.
I would say the guys that's been in the big leagues before and are down there, like a Sam Gavilio or like a Thomas Pinone.
Yeah.
So one guy like that's like, really? Like, you know, I got a little taste of the big leagues. I've been there before. I know what it's like. I want to be involved in that.
Except,
and I'm here.
Except the only thing I would say is I think it might be easier for a pitcher. Because, I mean, guys like Sam Gavilio and Pinone, they know what's going on.
Well, I guess you could say a little bit they're happy to have a job still. It's that kind of thing. But still, it's like, even if you're a pitcher, you're shagging. And you can't throw in a game every single day.
Right.
So what do you do when you're not throwing? It's a little bit of that. I know they don't have really a choice. You know, you'd rather be doing something than nothing and be just happy that you're involved in this and a part of this. But still, it can't be the easiest thing for all these coaches to keep them happy down there.
It's interesting how this organization now has so many homegrown catchers. Because for the longest time, it was a position they had to fill from outside.
Yeah.
And, you know, now you look, and this kid, Gabriel Moreno, is, you know, a converted infielder that a lot of people really like. And I think this started in a lot of ways when Sal Fasano was in the organization.
Yeah.
They started really developing, and it's not just on Sal. Obviously, it's the scouts, and clearly the scouts have to identify the catchers. But catching, yeah, it's a tough position to develop. There's a reason there's a lot of guys in their late 30s still catching.
Well, it is, and Sal was the first guy that I ever played with that got me to looking at who's catching the next day instead of who's pitching the next day.
Really?
Yeah, but the game's changed enough now.
That's interesting.
Well, it's more now of what's on the Velcro.
Because I know that one of the things from talking to Sal, Sal used to talk about a catcher being aggressive. He wanted there are catchers who are aggressive, and there are catchers who
he was, but veteran catchers would always be real good at attacking your weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always one of the guys that stopped looking at, he taught me this younger in my career, stop looking at who's pitching, right? You know, they can only have a fastball, curveball so much, right? It's about that guy behind the plate. Is he going to double up on that? When does he throw the breaking ball? Can he elevate a heater? Does he come in with the heater? That kind of thing. And that's gone away a little bit.
We're going to have more baseball talk ahead on Writer's Block. By the way, Jim Duquette, former Major League General Manager, joins us alongside Stephen Brundle will be here alongside me in Writer's Block. That'll be in the first hour. 590-590 is the text line. We will get to the line after this break. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Okay, 590-590 is the text line. Barker, people must be, we must be channeling something here. Because I just refreshed the text line.
Yeah.
Okay. Got a question here about Vladdy Guerrero Jr.
Oh,
just what we were talking about.
Very nice.
From Chris in Regina. Last week, Barker mentioned that Vladdy was guessing at the plate.
Yeah.
Is that a temporary thing? What does he need to do to get out of it?
Stop guessing.
Thank you. How does a guy rake like he did in the minors and struggle in the bigs? You can't guess your way through the minors, I wouldn't think. We all heard he had a great eye. We haven't seen it yet. Sorry, it's long, Chris and Regina. All right.
That's a great question, Chris.
It is, and it opens our conversation about Vladdy because, you know, we've talked about how this team doesn't handle velocity.
Nope.
And
he's the front runner.
He's the front runner.
He is.
I got a really dumbass question.
Not the first one.
Well, it's definitely not the first one. How can a guy that age not handle velocity? I can see if you're 40, well, unless you're Nelson Cruz, in which case you can. But I can see if you're 40 years old, 45 years old.
Nelson Cruz is quiet. You watch Nelson Cruz, he eliminates his lower half a little bit early, gets off his backside, he drives down and through the ball. He has a very level swing, right? It's not about hitting the ball in the air. It's about hitting the ball hard. The more you hit it hard, if you have power, you're going to gain bat speed or you're going to get backspin and the ball's going to go out of the park. Look, yesterday's the first time I was actually watching him. I usually watch his lower half. You know, all that going on in the lower half is almost impossible to time up. He's oftentimes late with that. Late with starting it, late when it stops and starting it again. He's just real late. And then I saw his hands. And I had to stop it, start it, and look at it like 17 times. I even called my wife in, and she got annoyed with me because I kept rolling it back and forth. And, you know, that's the way I do it at the house. Like, I annoy her sometimes, and she gets mad at me. But anyway, I start seeing the hand movement. Any good hitter you see, I mentioned Kevin Biggio. You know, Dan Showman's mentioned this on the air. You see a lot of the thing where he's got a little rhythm. That's that's his mechanism, is to get it started. But when the front foot of the pitcher hits the ground, it sort of stops. It's a slow movement. Yeah. He separates a little bit. He throws his hands. The barrel's not moving a ton. So you imagine Vladdy standing there. He does that with his lower half. Eliminate looking at that. Look from the waist up now. You see how he starts with his barrel directly behind his head. Right. And then when he goes in an athletic position, which means when the front foot hits the ground, barrel straight up and down. That's a lot of movement. Right. If he swung from right there, that's OK. You know, the bat's level. He's getting it in the hitting zone. He can drop his back elbow and do that, whatever they're trying to do by getting the barrel in the zone if he wants to do that. But he doesn't do that. He lays it down again back where it started. Most people that started here want to feel the barrel where he starts it. They want to bounce it. They want to feel it. But they swing from there. It's a bounce, it's a bounce, it's a bounce. My front foot as a hitter hits the ground. I'm athletic. I swing from there. It's coming from here. It's not up. Right. What's all of that do, Jeff? That takes time. That takes rhythm. You have to be always everything in sync to actually hit velocity. And you have
less time when somebody's throwing 98, you got less time.
You're late. You hit the ball over the first baseman dugout. I was a little over the map there. You know, this is why I'm on Instagram, because I'm going to get on that and show that. There you go.
So, is it something you can correct in season, or is this?
It would be tough. Those are big moves. Those are that he's formed a habit of doing that. He's just not, you know, whether that is, you know, Dante Bichette talks about a lot, getting the barrel in the hitting zone quicker, back behind the catcher thing, which is you have to drop the back elbow to do that. Maybe that's one of the things, and he just hasn't found the slot enough to do that. Me, I want his swing as level as it can possibly be and as quick as it can possibly be because everything that goes on lower half. And to fix that during the season, that's a big move. Those are big moves. You know, and again, I mentioned this at the start of the show. Until he actually starts hitting a fastball consistently, it's very hard to take him serious. It really is. And I say that as nicely as I possibly can.
I think people know what you mean.
It is. All good hitters, when I was young, I could hit the fastball. I had real issues at the big league level with breaking balls because of when they can throw it and where they could throw it. That was the issue. And then the fastball in, the more I was in, and because I was a bigger guy, I had trouble with plate awareness and swinging at the ball in off the plate. But when I first got here, I was hammering fastballs. And then they start flipping it to me, and that was my issue. He's backwards, which would tell you that something's mechanical or it's in between his ears that he just has real issue. And now how do you fix it? That's something he's going to have to go home when the season's over and really think about. How do you make it as short and quick and as quiet? Simplicity is the word in the offseason for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
We had a conversation about Santiago Espinal a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And of course, Espinal had probably the big hit of the game yesterday.
Yep.
Helped by the errant relay.
He kept Charlie from getting yelled at social media.
He did.
That's because
he certainly did.
Well, if you take out Ryu, 2-1 game with 90 pitches, he's getting yelled at.
Have you changed your mind about Santiago Espinal?
No, he is at all.
Because you thought at one point you weren't all in on him, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but you saw him as a guy who, well, let's put it this way,
25th guy.
Yeah. But if you had 25 men on the roster in a normal year, would he still be your 25th guy?
I think the way you can pick, he's the best defender they have in the infield. Yeah, he's the 25th guy either has to be a center fielder or a shortstop.
Okay, you've talked often about how the hardest thing to do is pinch hit, hardest thing to do for a young guy is be a part-time player. That's why you see a lot of part-time players are guys like Joe Panik or older. So what is Santiago let's assume that on this team, he is never going to be a starter. Because well, he probably won't be a starter. Bo Bichette's a
Kevin Biggio. Kevin Biggio second. Yeah, or, he ain't going to play third every day because he don't hit home runs.
Right. All right. So what does Santiago Espinal have to do to have a spot in this roster in the next 2 or 3 years? Because you're going to have some young guys coming up. Groshans is going to have to come up.
Play defense all the time. Make the plays that he should be making. Every time he plays shortstop, make the plays he should be.
Take some balls in the outfield too?
I don't think so. I mean, again, it's, look, like you can't have three or four of them. Kevin Biggio's enough in my mind. You know, it's, you have to be a halfway decent defensive team. Mm-hmm. Why put people in positions that are not real good at
it? He is a good defensive shortstop.
He's a very good defensive shortstop. You know, he's very comfortable there. He likes it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he feels like he's a big leaguer, which is the first step. And being a big leaguer is you got to know you're a big leaguer. That sounds real simple, but a lot of people don't know how to do that. He learned how to do that quick. So that's first and foremost. He has a very level swing. That's going to help. You know, he's going into yesterday, he's hitting like 324 off of fastballs. When you don't play every day, you got to hunt the heater. Like, you got to be able with your mechanics as a hitter to be able to get the fastballs. And because they know what you know, that you don't play every day. So they know that you're probably not in sync with everything, and they're going to give you a bunch of haters.
Yeah, because I don't have to. They're not going to flip it to you.
No, I don't have to fool around with this guy.
I'm just going to bury him.
They're not. Yeah, and you're probably hitting eighth or ninth.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to come after guys like that. So that's the first and foremost thing is you got to hit the heater. And occasionally you got to hit a breaking ball like he did yesterday. You know, he was out in front of the slider. Because he's ready to hit the heater. We talk about this all the time. You can be on time to hit a heater. Look for heater all the time, all the time, all the time. Be on time for that and see the breaking ball of the hand and still wait back enough to maximum collide with the baseball in a firm front side. You can do that every single time. Mindset is I'm ready for velo. It's 95. I'm ready for it. I don't want to miss it. What if he throws me one down the middle? And I'm taking it because I'm looking breaking ball, Vladdy. You see that a ton, right? So it's, if I can get it down, that's what I learned how to do that late in my career because if I didn't, I wasn't going to be in the big leagues. You got to learn your body. You got to learn what you can and can't do, and you got to be ready to hit. If he throws you a first pitch fastball for a strike, you got to be ready to put it in play. And he's doing that. Like, he is hard not to put in the lineup.
Yes.
He is very hard to keep out of the lineup. Like, you got to invent ways to, why is he not in the lineup? Like, it's, he's having that good of at bats, and you know the way this starting rotation is, the way they don't strike people out, and the way they, you know, their long counts and the ball's always being put in play. You need really good defenders.
I got to tell you this: I am much more comfortable defensively with him and Panic as my middle infield than him and VR.
VR's not a good defender. I've been telling you that since they picked him up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's here because of offense.
Yeah,
which
is fine. But I have been surprised at how many balls just get by him, barely by him. There was a play, was it yesterday, where he kind of dove over a ball, which is never good look.
It's hard to yell at a guy who dives. I mean, give an effort.
Yeah,
that's all you can ask for.
He's not a great defender.
Yeah. Like he's a switch hitter who's
streaky. But you see what I say? You're more comfortable with Santiago and Panic, are you?
I want my best defensive team on the field.
Yeah.
Who is that?
To me, that's Santiago and Panic. You know, when Bo's not.
He's better than Bo Bichette at shortstop. Right now, if you told me, write out your best defensive team in the infield, who would be playing third? I like Travis Shaw there because of his offense. He's going to have to perform offensively. I like him there. Espinal, you can't argue that. Look, Bo Bichette's had the injury problems this year. It's just this year. I'm not talking about forever. Nobody's taking his job, but you want to put the best product on the field defensively. You can't argue that.
Yeah.
I like him. And you don't panic. Listen, it's hard not to put him in a lineup too, right? He has good at bat after good at bat. I'll say this, with a runner on second base in the ninth inning with two outs, who would you rather have up? Who else? The way his at bats are, you know, obviously Bichette when he's rocking and rolling. But I'm saying when
I need a hit?
Yeah.
I'm probably panic right
Panic's,
now.
Yeah. He's a solid hitter who's not going to hurt your team.
And he's a guy.
Every playoff team needs a Joe Panic on their team.
Yeah, well, that's why he was on so many of them. We haven't talked yet about Teoscar Hernandez. A couple of people on the text line.
Well, you would think if he's taking batting practice, can't be too far
away.
That
is, I never, I mean, the word, and you know this as well as I do, the word was that essentially it was going to be touch and go whether he'd be ready for the first round of the playoffs because nobody trusts obliques. Now we're seeing him swing. He was swinging on Sunday. Admittedly, it was like about 70%.
He looked good to me.
But, man, if they I was prepared to see Teoscar Hernandez done for the rest of the year, or at least not until the playoffs. And if he comes back, you know, that's...
Well, I mean, his presence in the lineup would be a huge boost. It's like Bo Bichette. You know, he's if you haven't played since end of August or middle of August, that's a long time between at bats. So, and he has a lot of moving parts.
Stephen Burlington says, I'd put up with the so-so game calling if Kirk brings a bat to the position.
Yeah,
this team's not known for its defensive or tactical brilliance. It needs a bat until Teo and Rowdy back and Bichette finds a stride again. What do you make of Kirk as a hitter?
I like where he stands in the batter's box. You know, he doesn't have a ton of power. He might have some pull power. It looks like he knows the difference between a ball and a strike. That's a big deal. You know, the plate awareness, that's a huge deal. You know, anybody starting out knowing where to stand on the plate, take the knob of the bat, hold it against your belly button, drop the bat. If you have plated coverage with your barrel, that's where you need to stand in the batter's box. He's 5'8". You know, he doesn't have the longest of arms. He stands closer to the pitcher, not closer to the plate. That's smart, right? Catch it before it breaks. You can see the ball out of the hand a little bit better. You know, he's maximizing what God gave him, which is, you know, that's pretty smart. We haven't seen him enough to know, you know, can he hit second and third and facing a guy in the eighth inning? Not real sure of that yet, but – listen, if he can give you anything offensively with the way the catchers have been,
hard
not to play him occasionally, right?
Well, that is the offensive black hole. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, and if he's not going to, if the drop-off isn't substantial defensively, and what I mean by that, if he's not a mess behind the plate defensively, I got to have the bat.
Well, follow the game plan. It's, you know.
Well, I like what Ken Huckabee said, right? I mean, the thing about young guys is they're not going to go off script.
Yeah, he wants to be in a big league. Listen, when you got...
And work with Robbie Ray.
Well, when you got VR and a struggling VR and Jonathan Davis and Danny Jansen in the bottom of the order, that's not rolling out a whole lot of competitive at-bats there.
Barker, good stuff as always, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
And you're on. I can't believe you're on. How many Instagram followers do you have now? Let's do
another.
Come on. How many?
Just
because you got to have more than I do now.
I don't think I do. I don't even know how to get on it.
Wait,
160. Wait, is that right?
It says followers, and there'll be a number above it.
I had two when I showed up,
and then I tweeted. No, you got more than
I do. Thank goodness for Twitter.
No, you got more than I do. Oh, yeah, thank God for Twitter. It's what I say every day. Barker, thanks for doing this. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll find something to talk about, even though there's no Blue Jays baseball tonight. We'll get you set for the Yankees. Writer's Block with Stephen Brent is next. Have a great day.